Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house today. If we could turn this monitor down just a little bit, brother, please. The Holy Ghost breathing on us. Thank God it's not just a yesterday thing that we experienced. Last Sunday, what a presence of the Lord was in this house. What a beautiful moment we had. What great church we had, both for the adult Sunday school lesson and also the preaching that Brother Boyd did. But today is a new day, and the Lord continues to pour out his spirit upon us, and we continue to feel his presence. So I like what I feel in the house today so far, and I look forward to what the Lord's going to do today. Amen. Our series this month is on good friends, and Brother Keith taught on loyal friends for the first session of our month. Brother McGuire taught on closer than a brother last week, and I have the honor today of teaching on faithful wounds, the faithful wounds of a friend. This morning in our ministry meeting, Brother Keith, being a faithful friend of mine, was picking on me a little bit, showing me a little bit of those faithful wounds that he does. And it's people that love us that pick on us, and I'm grateful for the friends that I have in my life. God has gifted us all with very unique and very distinct friends. They may only come into our lives for a season, or they could be lifelong friends. But all of our friends, both past, future, and present, they serve a purpose in our lives. All of our friends, they serve a purpose. As I think back, I can remember my first best friend. And I have a special place in my heart to this day for him. And we don't see each other much. I believe the last time I saw him was at my mother's funeral. And that's the last time we had spoke. But still to this day, even though we don't speak on a daily basis or a monthly basis, or even yearly now, there's a special place in my heart for him. He was my first best friend, and God put him into my life. We celebrated many moments together, and that's what made us friends. As we were growing up, many life experiences, we celebrated together, and that's what made us best friends. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing to have a close friend. Somebody that we could be ourselves in front of, that we don't have to put on. We don't have to act like we're something we're not. We could let our hair down in a proverbial sense in front of them. So while I do remember good friends that have been in my life, I also remember those friends that came into my life and they caused chaos or division, maybe derision. And I'm grateful for those moments too, because they helped me identify who I should let into my inner circle. So going back to that point that all friends are divinely appointed, that God places in our lives, and they're there for different purposes. There's power in small circles. There's power in small circles of friends. In Matthew, the Lord says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about any one thing that they ask for, it will be done by them by my Father in heaven. So all we need is one that we agree with, and if we touch and we ask for it, God moves in that. There's something about the power of intimate inner circle friendship. Jesus had the inner circle with Peter, John, and James. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a great inner circle. There's something about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three friends that were willing to face the fire together. They were willing to get into that fire and face that. And God showed up as the fourth man in that. So there's power in friendship and close friends. I want to categorize friendships into three different types and touch on each of them briefly today in my lesson titled Faithful Wounds. Each category serves a purpose in our lives if we look at that friendship as opportunities. The first type of friendship is confidants. Confidants, they're persons with whom you could share your feelings and your secrets. Those are great friends to have. Brother Keith said, you might have five in your lifetime. I think you would be a blessed man or lucky if you had three. Three confidants in your entire life. That's not many. Constituents, that's the second category of friends. And that's a person that is with you for what you could do for them. Usually for self-gain or influence, maybe positional influence. They're constituents. They're along for the ride with the same goal in mind. It's just they're there for a different purpose. And the last would be comrades. Comrades, a person that will join together against a common enemy, up until the enemy is defeated and they part ways. Comrades. The foundation for our opening verse, and I would like for you to stand just briefly. We'll read three verses of scripture found in Proverbs 27. It'll be verses 5, 6, and 17. Proverbs is written by Solomon, the man who asked for God's wisdom instead of riches, and God rewarded him with wisdom. So as we read from the book of Proverbs, we read it in the fashion that this is the wisest man who'd ever written anything into the Bible, and that would be Solomon. It's got a lot of things that he says in here, and a proverb is a statement, a small piece of truth or a piece of advice. And we'll read, starting in verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Coming down to verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And if we could lift our hands, if you're able to, just for a moment, or maybe lift our voices into the Lord and ask him to bless this teaching. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask that you would give us ears to hear today. Dear Lord, give us eyes to see. Dear Lord, thus would saith the Lord. We ask that this word be planted deep within our hearts, that you would anoint the messenger, dear Lord, that you would anoint this service. We thank you for it. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thankful to have my wife in service today. I get a level of comfort by seeing her. Open rebuke in verse 5. Open rebuke is always a good time, said no one ever. But Solomon says that it's better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And we don't see a whole lot of open rebuke these days. Everybody's so sensitive. In open, you don't see people say certain things because people get offended so easily. The old saying is, at least you know what you're getting when you deal with a person that is outspoken or tells you how they feel about a certain situation. And Solomon records this as being better than secret love. Knowing is always better than the unknown. If someone has the courage to tell you information that could be seen as hurtful, but it would help you, that's a much better benefit than someone that could see you drowning or failing or headed down the wrong road and not say anything, just sit back idly and maybe talk about it. Hey, did you see what's going on with so-and-so? They're having some issues, you know. Let's see what'll play out with that. So it's better for a person to openly rebuke us than it is for someone to be in secret and have an opinion. Amen? Verse 6 is my focus. That was verse 5. Verse 6 is my focus, and it starts with faithful. Faithful are the wounds or the injury caused by a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Not everybody that kisses us is our friend. Not everybody. Just look at Joab and Judas and what their kisses produced. Joab was King David's nephew, and there were a number of things he did as he reigned over the kingdom that were just crazy. But he approached Amasa, who was the general over the army at that time, and Joab went to kiss him, and as he kissed him, he grabbed him by the beard and plunged his sword into his fifth rib. Yikes. In the Bible. And Judas, we all know Judas. Judas was with the soldiers as they approached Jesus in the midnight hour, and that's how he identified Jesus, was he went up and gave him a kiss to show the troops, well, this is who you need to capture. This is Jesus that they spoke of. So be careful. You know, not everybody that kisses us is a friend of us or a friend of us. We all know that we need to be wary of situations, and this is just an example. Kisses are also seen as intimacy. So people that are speaking highly of us are speaking good things into our lives. We just need to be careful about the information they're giving us, how much truth is behind that. But faithful are the wounds. In the first part of the verse, that's an interesting phrase of words, that faithful are the wounds of a friend, that we can depend on them to come during the duration of the friendship. In other words, they're going to come, and they're going to continue to come. Who would expect that our friends would wound us? Did you ever expect that from a friend, that at some point in time during this relationship, I'm going to be wounded by this person that I share special moments with, or private information, or things that are going on in my life, that at some point in time they're going to use something in our relationship to wound me? But they do come. and they come with a purpose. And at times, we don't understand the purpose in the moment. But our friendships with God are divinely appointed, and they all serve purposes. Have you ever been wounded by a friend? I asked that question today. Am I the only one? I think I've been wounded once, maybe a long time ago. They come throughout the duration of the friendship. How did that make you feel when you were wounded by a friend? What kind of feelings did you have that happened inside in your spirit? I felt betrayed, confused, angered even. Wow, I thought we were friends. This person's telling me about myself. David recounts a situation in Psalms chapter 55, verses 12 through 14. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Hand in hand, we walked into the house of God together. It doesn't affect us as much when the wound is produced from an enemy. That's something we expect. Someone maybe we didn't know, and it really doesn't matter if a wound comes from someone we didn't know, or it's easier to just put that to the side. But David says he could have handled it if that was the case. I could have handled it if it was a known enemy that was attacking me or was telling me about myself. But when it comes from someone close, an acquaintance and a friend, it just hits us a little differently. It hits us differently. My 4 points today are the wounds of the confidant, the wounds of the constituent, the wounds of the comrade, and finally, the wounds of the Savior. The wounds of the confidant. Like I said earlier, Brother Keith said that if we found 5 confidants in our lives or in our life, that would be a blessing. And I'm here today to say that number is much less for me. I might be at the 3 mark right now in my mid-40s. But confidants don't come like the wind. You're not going to have many confidants in your life. You're going to be blessed to have a handful over the duration of your entire lifetime. A confidant is a person or persons that if you're lucky enough to have in your life, that you do not have to put that mask on for. You could be real in front of them. They're not draining. They could tell what's happening with you without you being nervous or cautious about being judged. That's what a confidant would be. You're totally at ease in being exactly who you are without worry of judgment or persecution even from a confidant. We all have the capability of acting like everything is okay in certain situations. Possibly some of us today are acting like everything's fine, but deep inside we know that we've came with an issue into the house of the Lord. A confidant is a person that could approach you and without even saying, how are you doing, knows something's happening. I need to pray for that individual. I was here last Wednesday. An example, I had one person come up to me and said, Brother Chris, how are you doing? And I said, I'm fine. I'm okay. And they said, you wouldn't lie to me in the house of the Lord, would you? Kind of jokingly, but that's exactly what they said. And it was written all over my face. I'd had work issues, high stress situations in a work environment last week. Came into the house on Wednesday and tried to play it off. That same night, I get a text on the way home from another person in the congregation that says, Brother, you looked awesome tonight. You look really happy. I can tell things are going well for you. Well, that was a miss. That was a miss. I guess me putting on, I was able to fool someone that wasn't so close to me. But the person that didn't know where I was at was not a confidant. We have to understand the role of the confidant and why they're put into our lives. When you don't have to put on for someone or you don't have to put on an act for someone, it's not draining. It's not draining. You ever had a friendship where you knew you had to spend time with this individual or you were going to be in their presence and it's like, oh my God, I'm tired right now. I'm looking for a way out. But with a confidant, that's not the feeling you get. It's not. Brother Keith's laughing because is that an amen, Brother Keith? Yes, sir. So, and it's the reality. If we're being real about friendships, it's the reality. Sometimes friendships are draining. Confidants, that person, you go to his house, you open the refrigerator, you get yourself something to drink, you might take a nap on his couch. That's the confidant. And they will celebrate your victories. Not all of our friends could celebrate our victories with us. People want to see you do well, They just don't want to see you do better than them. But a confidant wants to see you do better than them. They want to see your family do better than them. They'll celebrate your victories. They will be there when you have something. And that's awesome, because there's a lot of people that will be there when we have something. But a confidant will be there when you don't have anything. Rock bottom, dire straits, bad situation. The confidant will be in your life for those situations. Romans 12, verse 15 and 16 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Mind not high things. When King David was on the run, when he was not King David, but when King David was on the run and he was in the woods, Jonathan came down from the castle and went and inserted himself into the presence of his friend that was in the woods. A confidant will leave a great situation to meet you in your presence when you're in the woods. A confidant will meet you there. A confidant will invest in you at the risk of falling out if they believe that's in their best interest. A confidant will invest in you at the risk of possibly getting into an argument or the friendship falling out to see you do better. How do we receive that when the friend comes into our lives and tells us things that cause problems in the relationship? In Proverbs 27, chapter 17, one of our opening verses, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Iron sharpening iron is not a tender or an endearing moment. This requires some force and some exertion for things to be moved around. But the Bible says that iron sharpening iron, and that's what gives us increase to the countenance of our friend. So there's going to be times where we need to be approached, or we need to approach others and maybe tell them some things that might not be so smooth, that might not be received so well. And God places these friends in our lives to challenge us and to make us better without becoming bitter. Either receiving or giving criticism to close friends will test the depths of the relationship, causing us to evaluate or self-reflect what we are being told. The wounds of the confidant hurt them as much as they hurt you, but the intent is to elevate you as a person in God's kingdom. Amen? Properly receiving and processing criticism can prove to be an opportunity for growth, both in our personal development and in our strengthened relationships. So it's not always about us. It's not always about us. When conflict arises between a group of friends that are very close, it could be to benefit them, or it could be to further you in the house of God. You could be going through a situation that you're unable to see through your own lens. And when someone else from an outside perspective tells you about it, it gives you opportunity to think about it. After the initial reaction of a stinging criticism, we could ask ourselves this question: is it true? Am I really guilty of this? Is this criticism something that's warranted in my life? Those are hard questions that we have to ask ourselves over and over. Is this true? Is this what people are saying about me? Is this what my friend thinks of this situation? I really shouldn't be with that person. I really shouldn't marry that person. I shouldn't take that job. I shouldn't leave the church to get a job that pays more money and not have another church figured out, you know? Certain hard things, hard life decisions. And if we're going at it alone, we put ourselves in a difficult situation. It's two or three that are gathered in his name. There I be in the midst. It's not one. It's not one of us. In what ways have you changed as a person after working through criticism you might have received through a friend? I've had to ask myself that question. I asked myself that question again this morning. And excuse me while I take a sip of water. I asked myself that question this morning, and I wanted to be able to share with the congregation maybe a time in my life where I was experiencing something that I needed a confidant in. And my oldest daughter, Alana, who was 16 at the time, she had did something. I can't even remember exactly what the nature of it was, but it was right around the time of her birthday. It was right around the time of her 16th birthday, and her mother, being a great mother, wanted to throw her a birthday, which all 16-year-old people do need to have, no matter what they've done. And I was on my way home, and I'd gotten off late. And on my way home, the surprise birthday was at Harry's in Lakeland. On my way home, I passed up Harry's, and I was just mad. I was upset at what she had done in the situation. And in my mind, I just said, I'm not participating in that. I'm not going to participate in that. And lo and behold, I passed up Harry's, and I was almost home. My confidant calls me. Hey, man. Hey, brother, where you at? Are you meeting us at the party? No, I'm not going. I'm mad. Well, you can't do that, Brother Chris. Oh, yes, I can. I'm not going. You don't understand what she's done. You know, I'm being myself, which at times, I'm being my carnal self, which at times, and if I wouldn't have had a friend call me at that moment and say, hey, you can't do that. You're her father. You can't do that. That's hateful. You're a Christian. You're a minister. And I had to evaluate myself. I did on the car ride. It took some coercion, and through a couple of minutes, I ended up making a U-turn and went back and participated in the party, and no one knew at the party. Again, another situation where everybody's like, everything is fine, and everything is going on great. But thank God I had a confidant that was able to tell me about a situation in my life and help me to see through the lens and address this situation. And in these situations, it doesn't always have to happen publicly or in person or for everyone to know about that. But if we don't have those relationships in our life, then we don't have nobody to check, to put us in checks and balances. Properly receiving and properly processing criticism. It deepens relationships when we have people like this in our lives. And it also, we have opportunity to help others. When we're confidants to others, we have opportunities to help them address situations in their life and maybe make a turn back towards God. That was one incident in my life, and I've had many with people that I'm able to talk to and I'm able to be myself, not my church self, not like my church self is that much different from who I am, but I'm able to be who I am and express myself and my feelings and my desires to friendship in intimate settings. Often in our desire to be affirmed, we crave the sweetness of a compliment. All of us want to be given a compliment. Hey, you did a good job teaching today. Hey, you look nice. Hey, you have a beautiful family. When in reality, we need to hear the words of truth from a trustworthy friend. That's the reality of the situation. We're all out here looking for compliments in our carnality and our flesh. But in reality, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear the truth from trustworthy friends. The satisfaction of an honest assessment from a loving friend is more meaningful than an empty accolade from another person that doesn't mean it. Some people tell us what we need to hear, and some people tell us what we need to hear. Sometimes we need to hear accolades that won't benefit us at all, but our flesh needs to hear that. And sometimes our spirit needs to hear how we are corrected or things that we need to do in our lives. The wounds of a constituent. Moving to the wounds of the constituent, my second point. All of these three types of friendship, the confidant, the constituent, the comrade, are all based on motive. All of these three friends in our lives have different motives. That's a reason for doing something. Usually a motive is hidden. We can't tell, well, what's driving the friendship. And while the motive of the confidant is love and adoration for the other person, that changes with the constituent and the comrade. The motives are different. The motive of the confidant is love. They love us. They want to see us do better. The constituent has the same goal as you or the same end result in mind. We all want to make it to heaven, and some friends we have are going to be based off of just wanting to make it to heaven together. I don't have a room full of confidants here today. We're looking at about 60 people, 70 people. Some of them are just going to be constituents that are here. We all want to make it to heaven together, and that's a good thing. The vocabulary of the constituent and the confidant are very similar. It's hard to detect one from the other. We're all saying the same thing. We love the Lord. We love God. Things are going great. We want to see you be successful. We want to see good things for you and your family. There's a stark contrast in the difference between the confidant and the constituent. I liken constituents to scaffolding. As the building's going up, the scaffolding is very close to the building, very close to the building, but it's not part of the building. And as soon as the building is through the building phase of it, the scaffolding comes down. So there are times where God sends friends in our lives for a season. It's only a season. And the mistake we make, the wound that can come from the constituent, is when we believe or we're upset or bitter at a person that is no longer in our lives. Where that was never the purpose for them. They were only going to be in our lives for a season to impact us and to make changes in our lives for a moment. Or we might have been the person that was making an impact on their lives for a season. So the constituent is not in for the long haul. Seasonal relationships. The constituent will leave the friendship when something or someone else comes along that has the ability to get them closer to their goal. They are only in the friendship for getting towards an end goal, and by whatever means necessary, they're moving towards the end goal. They will not be there when you cannot provide them with a means to get further down the goal. It's just a part of life. I've had way more constituents in my life than I've had confidants. Many constituents. One thing I would like to point out, that it's not all seasonal friendships that are there to help us. We've probably been on the flip side of that coin. We've probably been constituents. We've probably been along with people for what they could do for us at times. Same way. We've probably been confidants to others and also constituents to others. I don't want to stay there that long. The benefit of this lesson was faithful wounds of a confidant, but I want to touch on the constituent for a moment. The wounds of the comrade is next. A comrade is a bond that happens with a common enemy. The motive is strength is in numbers to have an advantage over the enemy, the comrade. The comrade will come into your life and unite with you against the same cause or a person. But as soon as the battle is over, the comrade will turn on you. It's a common enemy. That friendship is for a common enemy. A good example of comrades in the Bible would be the Sadducees and the Pharisees. When we look at that friendship, they couldn't stand each other. But when Jesus came into the picture, the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together to focus on attacking Jesus. So be wary of the comrade, because there's people that'll come in. And if you have the common enemy, we're good. As soon as the enemy's defeated, we're going in another direction. And then the final point, the wounds of the Savior, the faithful wounds of the Savior, which I believe is the most important of them all. In John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. At times the King James could be hard to roll with. But greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. In the ultimate act of true friendship, Jesus walks to Calvary, wounded to the point of being unrecognizable, flogged. It was undeserved. It was unwarranted. And what they did to Jesus had no merit behind that. But it was greater love that he had, that he was able to put himself in a place where the sacrifice was to benefit others and not himself. And there's no truer act of friendship than we find ourselves in a place where it's not about self, it's not about our needs or our desires or our benefit or our gain, but it's when we put the needs of others in front of that. And Jesus had the most faithful of all wounds. Those wounds he received as he approached Calvary's cross were true acts of friendship. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Faithful at all times. There will never be a time where Jesus will not listen to you. Not once, not ever. And as we look for friends that we could try to be ourselves in front of, we could always be ourselves to Jesus. I know in the midnight hour, I'm able to express my deepest, darkest concerns, my weaknesses, my fears, my doubts, I'm able to express to Jesus because of his faithful wounds, because he laid down his life for me. I'm no longer a servant. No longer a servant to Jesus. He took the relationship up a level. Now you're my friend. I call you friends. Faithful for those wounds. Putting others before ourselves is the mind of Christ. It is the ultimate mind of Christ, is when we put others before ourselves. Jesus demonstrated to all of us that it's not about us. It's not a me mentality. It's not about what can someone do for us? It's what we can do for others. How faithful have our own wounds been so that others might be redeemed? I'm checking myself as I study this lesson. I'm looking within, and I'm like, how faithful have I been to be wounded for others? How faithful have I been to follow in the example of Jesus? Jesus is our great example, exemplified the role of friend, and showed us that serving others is a high calling. I am forever thankful for those faithful wounds. If we could stand to our feet, I'm forever thankful for the faithful wounds that Christ received so that I might be redeemed, so that we might be redeemed today. Jesus was wounded for the transgression of the world so that the world might be redeemed. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Faithful were his wounds. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So as the wounds come into our life, we know that at any moment we could call upon Jesus. His wounds. He was wounded for the transgression of his people. We've all transgressed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could admit that today. But Jesus, being ever so faithful, is there to heal us. It was by his stripes and the stripes that he took on his back that we might be healed. When all else in life seems impossible and the world is crashing in on you, Jesus is a forever friend for those that call upon him. If we could have a moment of prayer as we close the service. Oh, hallelujah, dear George. Hallelujah, dear Jesus, mighty God. Oh, dear Lord, help us to inspect our hearts, dear Lord. Help us to look within our hearts. Help us to receive this word today, dear Lord Jesus, that we thank you for forever being our faithful friend. We thank you for the blood on Calvary's cross. We thank you for taking those wounds upon your back that we might be healed, dear Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, we thank you. We thank you for every friend that you've placed in our lives, for every opportunity you've placed for us to be built up in the house of God today, dear Lord. We thank you. We thank you for those things and for what you will continue to do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for hearing the lesson. It was from my heart today. We'll have a brief intermission. We'll be back at 12 o'clock looking for a great service today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.